I think it's changed.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's recording now.
Oh.
So, yeah, we're on. Oh, okay. Right.
Have you finished saying oh?
Yeah.
You sure?
I think so.
Jolly good. If we're all set, it's switched on and steamed up and all that.
Yeah.
Whose turn is it? Who's going first?
I think we should say hello first.
Do you?
Yeah. Because otherwise, people listening to this going, what the?
True, yeah. Now I feel like play school. Hello, boys and girls.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Are we all sitting comfortably?
Yeah. You need to be to listen to this, don't you?
You would, yeah. A cup of tea is recommended as well.
Yes. So, but if you haven't got one, then just wait. Don't go make one now. So this is our first attempt at a recording for Digital Doggerel.
It is, I believe so. Not sure what we call the other attempts.
We are pretty much. They were test runs.
Oh, that's much better. I like that.
Yeah.
This is why I keep you around. You put things in a much better light than I do.
Aye.
You're a bit more positive than me. I'm a negative. So
yeah, what was I going to say?
Well, are you going to interview me or am I going to interview you?
Well, why don't we just do a bit at a time? So, right, okay. I'll start then. So,
okay.
In fact, should we tell people who we are? This is Emma that I'm talking to.
And this is Lottie who I'm talking to. Well, I hope it is. it might be.
And she's from Malvern and runs the Canine Consultants.
I do indeed.
And you've got quite a few dogs, haven't you, Emma?
I have. 5 is the current number.
Yeah. Do you want to give us a quick run through of what you've got?
Here I am.
Or who you've got?
It's strictly necessary. More than I've got brain cells. So, starting from the oldest, we've got Kelda, who is otherwise known as Donkey, and she is 12 and she's a deerhound. And then we've got Womble, who is... We've got Errol, who is 11, and he's a Tibetan Terrier. And we've got Womble, who is 7, who is a Lurcher. And then we've got Beezles, who is 2, who is a Saluki. And Baggins, who is 1.5, and he's a Grand Basset Griffon Vendean.
So you like your hounds?
I quite like the hound.
Yeah.
I like that... how do you put it nicely? That fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. I like that.
Yeah.
Turns out, I'm going to put that nicely. Well, did you have a style than a terrier? Do you know what I mean? There's a bit more class there.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So I look at you and consider it and go, no, not really. Because a terrier does actually stick up 2 fingers at you.
Yeah.
So, are we doing you?
Can do.
Can we? I've gone all inappropriate there. So you're Charlotte Bennett, Miss Charlotte Bennett. I like full naming you because you've got a very good name.
Oh, nobody knows me as Charlotte, though.
I know, but that's why I like it. If you've ever done something awful, I can go, Charlotte Bennett! Very effective.
Makes me think of my mother.
Otherwise known as Lottie Bennett. And you run Lottie's School for Dogs in that there, Sheffield.
I do.
North. Well, it's up north and sideways a bit, isn't it? It's not proper up north. Not like that lot that are nearly in Scotland would have to tell.
No.
I was going to ask you a question, but you've got some dogs and you've gone for the spotty ones.
I did.
Is there a reason for that other than total insanity?
I don't really know. Well, basically, I wanted a Dalmatian since I was about 2. We could never have a dog. I grew up not having any dogs, and when I finally did get a dog, and my mum agreed to let me have a dog, I said, "Oh, perhaps I didn't ought to get a Dalmatian because they need so much, you know, exercise," and I'd had health problems. And
yeah.
I was like, perhaps I didn't. And she said, no, she said, you wanted a Dalmatian. If I get you something else, you'll still end up with a Dalmatian. We'll end up with 2.
Oh, the wiseness of the parent. Yes.
I know. So three Dalmatians later.
Yeah.
It didn't quite work out.
No. They're a bit collectible, aren't they?
They are. They're I do like, they're not, I never considered them particularly difficult dogs until I started training more of different breeds, and then I thought, actually, these are a doddle.
I feel the same way about hounds. I don't find them particularly difficult, but then when I look at how easy other people find other breeds, I'm like, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. I still don't think hounds are that difficult, but...
No. It depends what you want out of them, I think.
It does. It really does, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna ask you my question because I'm burning with desire to ask this question.
Okay.
So, apart from the dog-related stuff and all the disability-related stuff that is dead obvious, I want to ask you about burlesque dancing. You're the only person that I know, and I actually do know quite a few people that dance and have been dance teachers and dancers and stuff, but I haven't known anybody who does burlesque.
No.
So I want to ask you about, how did you start doing that?
I was doing ballroom wheelchair dancing, and my partner, who at the time, not partner, but dance partner at the time, took a course in burlesque dancing, and I went to support her and watch her show at the end of the course. And I'd kind of, after doing the, because I'd not long since got into the wheelchair dancing, and I was kind of in that, like, could I do this in a wheelchair, could I do that in a wheelchair, and I was watching these performances and thinking, you could do this in a wheelchair. So I said to her one day, like, you know, I reckon you could do that in a wheelchair. And she was like, yeah. And I said, if you could show me. There was a show coming up that she was performing in, and I was invited to perform in. Not that I'd ever done it before. And I said, well, you'll have to show me, like, what to do, kind of thing, you know, a bit. So yeah, I put together a performance for that and did it, and it went down quite well. So I did it again.
Lovely, lovely.
So it was good fun. The first time that I performed, the stage was kind of off level.
oh dear.
Yeah. That was quite fun because I was also not in my day chair, I was in my dance chair, which moves with very little encouragement.
Yeah. For the people that aren't used to sitting in a wheelchair, you do very rapidly discover what's actually truly flat and what isn't. And my day chair is not very it's not all that tight, lightly balanced, is it? But
no.
I can tell.
Yeah. So in a dance chair, it was really, really obvious. And I had to customise my performance so that I always had a hand on one wheel.
Fly off the stage.
Because it was leaning down towards the audience as well.
That would
so I would just roll straight into the audience.
That would be an exciting new element, wouldn't it? Burlesque dancing meets crowd diving, stage diving. Yeah.
Cats
are
crippled.
Don't think the world's entirely ready for that. Yeah, cats are crippled. If you catch it, you can take it home with you.
So, but yeah, it was good. It was good fun. Not something that I would particularly want to do, like, a lot of, but no. It was very liberating.
But for once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was mostly kind of to get a positive message out there as well. So. Mm. You know,
I see. I dabbled with dancing before I was diagnosed with heart failure, and I'd never ever thought it was anything for me. I really didn't. I don't like being the centre of attention. I don't like people looking at me. I don't like, you know, like things like when you have to wave your arms in the air and stuff when you're dancing. I didn't like doing that because it feels very. Yeah, you look silly and people are looking at you, and I hated it.
You don't look silly, but you feel like you look silly.
You feel like you look silly.
Yeah,
and it's sort of, I don't quite know how to put that. It's like extravagant movements that you wouldn't normally do that are all designed to go, look at me, aren't I amazing? And I'm really not like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But due to a few friends who, I think somebody had a birthday party way back in the midst of time that was a Le Rock dance class for their birthday party. And I had a go and I really enjoyed it because... Le Rock means you don't have to do much with your feet.
Yeah.
It's designed so that you can have a crack without really knowing what your feet are in. And I really enjoyed it, and I actually went to some classes locally for a bit, and then I found that I was going a bit blue and wheezy and thought I might die on people. So I stopped. And then I found out that I had heart failure, and my GP was keen that I didn't continue that activity. Which is a shame, because I enjoyed it, but I suppose if I'd died on somebody, that would have been less amusing for everybody else. Oh well. But yeah, it does build confidence, doesn't it, dancing?
It does. It's funny, because like, when you go on stage, you feel terrified. And then, particularly if you've got a good audience, like, for ballroom, I did find that a little bit more, I struggled with really gesticulating and sort of, you know, there were other dancers that were much more flamboyant than I was. And with the ballroom, it's one of those, you get a certain amount of clapping while you're going round and maybe a bit of cheering, but it's a fairly sedate audience. When you do the burlesque, it's completely different, because you get up on stage and everybody there wants you to do well. And they all, you know, regardless, I mean, I was up on stage in a wheelchair and I wasn't hiding anything. So like my stoma, my leg, everything. Yeah. I didn't take my bra off, by the way.
I'll stop looking for secret videos of that then.
I
thought you were going to be doing things with feathers and stuff.
There was never a point, I didn't get that far down. There was never a point where I felt like I was being pitied or that people were cheering because I was brave rather than.
Yeah, because I hate that. Oh, you're so brave.
Yeah, it was really definitely like...
I could digress for hours on brave.
It was nice because you had all the audience screaming and cheering and really egging you on. And then you get into it then, all your nerves go because it's like, oh yeah, everybody loves me, you know. And it was a really positive feeling. It's very, very empowering.
Yeah. That's how, I mean, even just a few dance lessons and I felt a lot of that and it was like, I really like that.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a bugger, I can't do that. we'll have a crack at wheelchair dancing when we're on holiday.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So what do you like to do when you're not doing doggy related stuff?
Sleep. quite like that. Felting, needle felting, painting, drawing. Thing is, all of my hobbies have become things that I earn money from. And so, as soon as you do that, they kind of stop being hobbies.
Yeah.
Which is a bit... It's not a bad thing, but it can kind of... Instead of doing it for your enjoyment of doing the thing, you start doing it with a view to who would like this, who will buy this. And that can take some of the joy out of doing it. So I do try and sort of space myself out doing things that I think other people will like and doing things just to please me.
Yeah.
What else do I do? Sleeping. Sleeping is a really big hobby, isn't it?
Sleeping is a very important part.
I don't get a lot of it. I usually have a beazel stuck up my bum crack. It's not. I mean, I'm all for dogs.
Great place for a saluki to be.
Yeah, well, and that's where Saluki's park themselves. Up your bum.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say, so have you ever thought about doing heel work to music?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought about it a few times. I did start to do a little bit of stuff with Bubble in the hope that I could do it with her, because by the time... Like with Takara, I did a lot with her before I was in a wheelchair. But then she was a bit older by the time I started to use the wheelchair more. She just wasn't quite... By the time she'd have learned it, she wouldn't have been able to really do it. Raiden... Well, you've met Raiden.
Yeah, you could do some sort of interpretive wheelchair dance with Raiden, but I think it might be a bit inappropriate. Or loud. Or both.
But Bubble, I did start to do a few sort of tricks with Bubble around the wheelchair in the idea that we could do a bit of heel work to music. I've just never really had the time or the space to dedicate to it, because I've only got a little fat.
Yeah, that's what I found. I mean, I've I've never tried it with a wheelchair, but when Rocky was young, he was the dog that could do the most tricks. Because I've become so much more of a lazy trainer since then. But he could do loads of tricks, and I really did think about it with him, but I didn't have any space. I didn't have access to any kind of space. I had a tiny bedsit that made your flat look big. It really did.
Yeah.
Mind it, I am also a lazy trainer, and I keep coming up with excuses as to why I'm not doing something when I could be doing something.
I think we're all guilty of that to some extent.
It's so very easy to do, particularly when it then becomes your work and you end up concentrating on your clients' dogs instead of your own.
Yeah.
Which is so easy to do.
Cobbler's children and all that.
Yeah. Do you think that leads me to a question, an interesting topic. Do you think that we possibly have gone down a road where we're training too much and actually we should back off?
I used to train a lot, probably when I had more time, I suppose, and also fewer dogs. It's easier to train fewer dogs.
Oh, it definitely is. It's hard to train in a house of five dogs.
Yeah, and especially if you've got dogs like from rescue that have certain issues that, you know, it's not easy to take one out and not have everybody else.
Yeah.
Where you're going, I think. So, I used to do a lot of training, and, you know, they were very, I wouldn't say that their everyday obedience, if you like, was that much better. Still had to chase Takara around after picnics when she was a lot younger.
Yeah, been there with lurchers,
But she knew, you know, I did an awful lot with them, and you could easily, she had a huge repertoire of behaviours, but she was also quite reactive.
Yeah.
Since having the, I mean, she's a more highly sort of tense dog anyway than the other two, but they're much more laid back and they're much more able to cope with everyday life through, I think, having done less. And Takara's much better since I've cut down what she does.
Yeah.
And I have seen that with clients' dogs as well. So there's clients who have got dogs like Border Collies and they've gone, right, I've got a Border Collie and I need to do loads with it.
Yeah.
And you know, they're right. They've kind of taken into consideration the breed that they've got, and they want to make sure that they're enriched and everything. But they've failed to actually provide much downtime.
Yes, I do. I remember. I can't remember who it was said it now, but they got a rescue collie. And I asked them if they were going to do clicker training with him, and they said no, because they didn't want to switch that side of his brain on. It hadn't ever been switched on, and he was a very relaxed dog.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to change that and make him a really pushy, a dog that needed lots and lots and lots of input and constant, like, arousal.
Yeah.
And I can see a point in that, actually.
Yeah. If you're set up for it, you know, if you're somebody, I mean, I know people who have done a lot of training with dogs and often a lot of collies as well, that once you get them going, you have to keep up with it. But that is their life, and that is what they want to do. And they want to do competitions and constantly train and that kind of thing. And it's fine for them. It suits them.
Do you think those dogs then struggle to actually have downtime and be bored and chill out? And
I don't know their dogs, but I think the dogs that I've seen that have had a lot of input, we have had to work on their chilling out.
Yeah, because I don't know if I'm making excuses for me being a lazy trainer, but my dogs can definitely chill out and be bored.
I think it's having a balance, and it's knowing your dog as well. So you've got a house and they're not, you know, they're a dog that probably could do with plenty of downtime and don't need as much different as, say, a collie.
Yeah, I mean, certainly like Baggins, when we take Baggins out, and he's just coming shopping with us, and sort of learning a bit of public access, but not in any serious way at the minute. And he finds that tiring in itself. That's exhausting for him. The only one here that really gets very fired up by training is Womble, and I've actually stopped clicker training with him entirely, is it makes him so aroused, and he finds it so hard to come back down from that.
Yeah.
That he was really stressed and really found life a struggle. And having stopped doing that, and I started doing it at 8 weeks, and I was doing far too much with him and teaching far too many things all at once, because I was so overjoyed at having such a clever, sharp dog. I got carried away with that.
Yeah.
And actually, I see that now in other dogs. I see these dogs with reputations for being so sharp and so clever and needing so much input that the owners focus on that and don't teach them how to chill out first.
Yeah, I made the same mistake with, again, it was with Takara. You know, she was my first dog. I'd been told how much exercise and stimulation Dalmatians need. And it was, because she was my first dog as well, I wanted to do everything with her. We did everything. But what we didn't do was actually just learn to relax. And, I mean, she could, in fairness, she could go and chill out at a pub or something.
Yeah.
But, not anything like a lot of the dogs that, I mean, I run puppy club now and we focus on, as well as other things, we focus on downtime and having them just chill out a little bit. And the pups that I see that do it, and they just lie down by their owners and relax. And I'm always amazed by it because I never was able to do that with her. And also, you know, Dalmatians aren't known for settling anywhere.
It's not a trait I associate with Dalmatians. To be fair, I was going to change the topic slightly because I think we should have a crippled rant section.
All right. What do you think?
Should we have a crippled rant section? Because you touched on it before. You touched on it before. Brave.
I thought it might be that.
Yeah, brave. Well, there's so many things you could pick. But brave, I think brave and inspiration.
Yeah.
Brave annoys me. It's annoyed me ever since I was a tiny child, and my mate Roger was the only person I knew in a wheelchair. He had muscular dystrophy, and people would come and tell us how brave he was. Like, they would tell me, and I'd be stood next to him.
Yeah.
He's so brave, and I'm like, he isn't. He's got no
and
choice.
He's not deaf either.
I'm not brave. If I could choose to not have a life-limiting disability, then I would choose to not have it.
Yeah, you just get on with what you dealt.
You do. You just go on with it. I think the definition of brave is knowing something scary and then choosing to do it.
Yeah.
Not just cracking on with whatever you've got to deal with because you have no choice.
Yeah.
So I guess people mean well.
They do. But... And I've challenged this before.
Yeah. And
people have said there is a choice involved because you could... There is another option. So we've both said, like, we've both discussed before, like, that sometimes it seems like, why are we doing this when we could just say I'm too sick to work?
Yeah.
And just have benefits and then do whatever we want in the time that we've got.
Just think of all the Homes Under the Hammer you could watch. That is my not that secret addiction. I love it. I couldn't.
You could get a lot more rest. You could spend more time with your dogs, you know, but we both said the same thing at the time, that actually this is our identity.
Yeah, I mean, I did this before it was a job, so I was learning about dogs and advising people on dogs and long before I got paid for it.
Yeah.
And if you I was probably a really irritating internet know-it-all. Sorry, people. I still am.
If you were given a choice now, so you can quit all the dog training. You can take a disability benefit instead. Because let's face it, you are in the situation that it's not a case of I get PIP or whatever, so I'm gonna claim incapacity. You are in a situation where a lot of people wouldn't be working. You only work because you run a business that you can do online and what have you.
Yeah, I mean if I couldn't be self-employed, I couldn't be employed by anybody else. I am not employable.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got the option now. if I was to give you the option, so you can quit work and you can claim benefits and you can sleep more and you can go out with the dog more and do everything with your own energy levels without having to have a deadline for anything. Sounds amazing. You would still choose to work.
I would.
And that's where Brave comes in.
Yeah, I suppose so. I would end up helping people without being paid then.
Yeah.
I would still be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So to an extent, that's what, when I've discussed it with people and I've said, no, I'm not brave, I don't have a choice. Because actually you do have a choice in how you deal with it. Not that you deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how you deal with it.
I can kind of see that, but it doesn't feel, because I just couldn't do that. So it doesn't feel like it's a choice. It's just the natural.
Yeah.
Thing, which is amazing, because I will also be the first person to tell you that I am lazy. I am lazy. Right, if I can put something off tomorrow, I will put it off till next week. I'm lazy and I procrastinate a lot. But when the idea of not doing it and not working, it just doesn't compute. It's just not in there. It's like, no. How? I don't even know how to do that. And the thing is, for a long time I didn't, because I was on benefits for years with mental health issues, and I didn't. But then when I think about it, actually my life took up the whole of that time. Yeah. And I did actually spend a lot of that time educating myself. So I wouldn't have had the time to do that otherwise. I don't know. But yeah, it used to be when I left school and I was really depressed, the idea of never having to work was amazing.
Yeah.
And now that my mental health is that much better, the idea of not being able to work or not working is unfathomable, really. It's just incomprehensible.
Yeah.
It's strange how it change.
Mm.
Yeah. So what would be your cripple rant?
Well,
Do you get to have a new one? I've had that one.
really. For the most part, I guess there's not that much. I'm quite lucky. I don't know if it's where I live or if it's the way that I've spoken to some people who are quite negative and they have a lot more problems with the public.
Yes, I've seen that.
And I think
seen that happen.
Yeah, I think if you go around looking for problems, you'll have them. And most of the time I go past and I smile and talk to people like anybody else would. And I think then people see you more human anyway.
Yeah, I hate to say the words positive mental attitude, but when you arrive at a situation with that positive attitude and you take charge and you're like, hello, this is how this is going to happen. And then people just go along with that.
Yeah.
When you arrive with a negative, this is a problem and it's all your fault and blah, 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 everything's going to be bad, then that is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't grasp that until that first train trip that I took. First time in a wheelchair on the train with Lou. Mm-hmm. And some lady got on and she'd already decided before she got on the train that everything was going to be a problem. And it all stemmed from a simple misunderstanding that she'd booked assistance to get on the train. She misunderstood and thought that had meant that she'd booked a space on the train. You actually can't book disabled spaces on National Rail Train. You can't. They don't exist. It's first come, first serve, but you can book the help to get on it.
Right.
And because she'd assumed that she'd booked a space and got on and discovered that there were people in her, in inverted commas, space, she was immediately arsy and combative with people, and she managed to make everybody in the carriage feel really bad, and I'm sure she didn't intend to, but she created that bad attitude where everybody else was making the best of it, and we were all crowded before she got on, and everybody had a right to be there. There was nobody doing anything inappropriate, you know, and that was quite a shock to me, because I mean I'd read about that sort of thing, but I'd never actually witnessed it for myself.
I
can understand how people get that way.
But you do have to be a bit, you know, it's just a case of being treated as you treat other people.
It is tiring to constantly have to strap on that positive mental attitude sometimes.
Yeah,
there are days when you're like,
there's days
here we go again.
Yeah, I mean, I think my biggest rant, and actually you'll know this because it comes up more often than anything else, is accessible pavements.
I'm going to join you on that one in a couple of weeks when I get my power chair.
Yeah.
Aren't I?
You get a drop curb at one end of the road, you get to the other end of the road and there's no drop curb.
Yep.
It's like, well, why did you let me on it?
Yeah. You put me on the pavement, now I can't get off it. I've got off the pavement, now I can't get back on.
Yeah. Then there's the drop curbs that aren't really drop curbs.
So they're lower. I particularly like the ones that are a drop curb and they're really narrow drop curb. And at least part of it is obstructed by a really big drain grid. It's exactly the right size to capture a front caster.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's nothing I love more personally than being tipped out face first into traffic. You can't beat it. For thrills, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just face plant the pavement.
Yeah. But and yeah, I mean, I'm much better off now that I've got my power chair. With the scooter, it was like every single time I went out, it was
Yeah.
just stressful. With the power chair, at least you can, it's smaller, you can get round obstacles, and you can also turn around.
I'm hoping I'm going to find the same with mine when I get it.
Yeah.
10 days.
I did, so I have written to the council
Yeah.
recently and said, I appreciate the bin men have a job to do in a short space of time and they're busy, but could you please remind the teams to put the bins back against the walls? Told them about the lovely Tesco delivery driver
Oh yeah, lovely, lovely
who
Tesco.
went all the way up the street moving the bins for me.
Oh, there are some lovely people.
Yeah, and actually the last 2 weeks when they've taken the bins, people
Yeah.
haven't been aware that the bins have been taken because they're back so close to the wall that they
Oh.
looked like they did when they were put out. So that's a
Good
really positive.
work. That's really positive, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it's tempting to feel like there's no point doing anything or saying anything because no one's listening, and I don't think that's true.
This is it, because you can rant about it and like, but if you don't actually bring it to people's
Yeah, you need to bring it to
awareness.
the right people's attention. Maybe people don't know the right people to bring it to their attention sometimes, but sometimes people just want to have a rant rather than achieve anything constructive. But I do try and make my rants constructive. Not
Yeah.
always, but sometimes. Do you get people being aggro on your behalf? Because you know I do, and you know who it is. Do you get that as well? Do people take it upon themselves to get a bit ranty or aggro at other people for whatever perceived wrongs on your behalf?
For the
Because.
most part, not outwardly, certainly not to the extent that who does.
I think she's mentioned her name. The chances that she's going to actually listen to this are pretty much nil.
My people will get upset, and most of the time, if a friend or whoever has got upset about it or angry, they'll wait and then have a rant to me rather than shouting at somebody else.
Me like that.
My mum has occasionally got upset.
Your mum would scare me. Your
Yeah,
mum does
she's
scare
quite
me,
scary.
basically. Your mum's scary. Well, she's also lovely, but she is scary. So now I'm scared that your mum's going to be scary at me because I said she was scary.
All my friends have always said that my mum's scary.
Oh, that's okay then. She used
Yeah.
to be then.
Ask any of the friends that I knew at school, and they were all like, oh, yeah, Lynn's lovely, but she's scary.
Yeah.
You don't
See,
want to get on the wrong
people
side of her.
used to just say that my mum was scary. They didn't say she was lovely. She was just scary.
My friends all loved my. A lot of my friends spent a lot of time here, and they loved my mum. And my mum did like a lot of the church stuff.
Yeah.
So like we had the groups and stuff here, and like did crafts and stuff like that.
Wow.
So she was like a like to my best friend when I was at school. She described her as like a second mum.
Yeah.
But they still didn't want to get on the wrong side of her.
Yeah,
On the wrong side of her, to be fair.
as you know, I have had a few. Pretty much almost always with Lulu, in fact, always Lou,
Yeah.
my delightful younger sister, who is very useful and helpful a lot of the time, but she does take it upon herself to get a bit aggro on my behalf. And she calls it being assertive, and I call it being a Rottweiler. Apologies to any Rottweiler owners that don't like that. But she, yeah, I mean, she nearly had that bloke by the throat at that hotel when he kicked my auntie tips for the 97th
Oh
time.
yeah, and she leapt up.
I didn't even see his face.
I think the thing is, it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard going through what we go through, but I think it's much, much harder watching a loved one go
It
through it.
must be. It must be so frustrating and upsetting and hard
Yeah.
being able to do anything about it except rip people's throats out for kicking auntie tips. How do you feel about when kids come and ask you awkward questions? Because I really don't mind.
Kids, I think for the most part, I'm not a big fan of kids, but
Well, no, I'm not a huge fan of the crotch fruit, but
what I do
yeah.
love about them is that they're not afraid to ask.
Yeah.
They've not hit that point where they have inhibitions, and like I have a very obviously visual problem with my leg,
Yeah.
and I've always had children come up, and for the most part, they've been really polite. I mean, you get some that are like, ew, what happened? But like, you get a lot that are really polite about it and just want to know. They're just interested and want to know. And I'm fine with that because I think it's an opportunity to explain and people to learn and what have you. But it's the parents who drag the children away and don't let them.
It's the ones that shout at them and make them feel bad for wanting to know. That upsets me.
Yeah.
And like I say, I'm not the hugest fan of small people. They're very small and I don't really want any. But I don't think that we should be making them frightened of disabled people.
No. And this is the thing, like, you'll have parents stare at you.
And then give the kid a clip round the ear off for doing the same thing.
But they won't let their children speak to you because that's rude.
Yeah.
But it's okay to stare.
Yeah.
So no, I think it's great when kids ask because it just gives me an opportunity to explain and explain that actually, you know, there's nothing different about the person. It's just, you know, their body kind of thing. They're still good to talk to.
I've had the most questions when I've been doing my shopping on my own. And I pushed, I don't think you've seen me go around a supermarket, but I stick my feet out and push the trolley with my feet.
Yeah.
As I can. I mean, and so obviously that looks a bit weird, particularly when you're trying to go around corners.
Yeah.
And kids do come and ask, and they are, you know, they say, oh, what's wrong with you? Or do your legs not work? And that kind of thing. And I'm quite happy to give a sort of child appropriate explanation that bits of me don't work that well or bits of me are hurty, but I get by and do it my way. It's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you want to move on to my exciting quickfire quiz round? Because it's epic. Not stolen from any Radio 4 comedy programs whatsoever. Right, are you ready for this?
Okay. I can't promise I'll be quick.
Oh, you can't. Well, let's see. Right. Dalmatian without spots or unicorn without horn?
Unicorn without... No. Dalmatian without spots.
Correct. Fat and eat cake or thin but only ever eat plain Ryvita?
Oh no, fat and eat cake.
Correct. Poor but puppies or millionaire but no dogs on the planet?
Oh hell no, got to have the puppies.
Yeah. And I think this is a really testing one, this. Paws instead of feet... or a big waggy tail that gives away your every emotion?
Do the paws work?
Yeah. Functional paws, not decorative paws.
Do they work better than my feet?
Probably.
No, it'd have to be the paws.
No, sorry, it's the big waggy tail.
Oh no, you see that? I can't have people knowing what I'm thinking all the time.
I know, but wouldn't it be amazing to have a big waggy tail? Great big waggy tail.
I struggle to hide it if somebody annoys me anyway. And if I then have a tail that went up and straight every time somebody picked me up.
Yeah, every time I walk past somebody I fancy, my tail would go like the clappers, round and round. It'd be a bit of a giveaway, wouldn't it? Oh, no. Yeah. So you haven't got any quickfire questions for me, have you?
No, I haven't. I didn't prepare any.
Dear, you need to for next time.
I'll do yours next time, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Is that it? Can we all go home now?
I think we can. I think we need to know what people think, though. So.
We do. How can they contact us?
How can they contact us? Well, they can get us on... Oh gosh, now you're asking me. They can get us on Facebook.
They can.
Digital Doggerel.
Yep.
And Twitter.
Have we got a Twitter? Did you?
We have, yeah.
Oh my god.
I've been busy.
Go us. Go you.
Yeah.
Go us. I've done nothing.
Which is also at Digital Doggerel. We have an email address, but I can't remember what it is.
I'm very organised to get the Twitter and the email. Yeah.
That it's LoftyEms@digitaldoggerel.com. But I shall have to
you'll have to check that and edit it.
Yeah. All the details will be on the website anyway.
They will. And they might be on the post when we post the post on the Facebook.
Yeah.
So that I think people will probably find us. even if it's just to say, shut up. We're not going.
Please never do another one.
You know, we're going to carry on, but you can say it. We'll hear all views.
Yes. We'll just ignore them if they're
we
not.
We might read out some of the ruder ones.
Yeah, I should confirm. It is lottie-ems@digitaldoggerel.com.
Oh, very good. Yeah, it's almost like you've planned all these things and put it all together neatly.
I know.
You know.
But in fact, it's like a fairy came and did it.
Fairy did it in the night.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We should probably stop talking then and go away.
Yes. Thank you to anybody who's still listening to this crap.
Well done. Collect your prizes at the end. We might get better at it if we get some feedback.
And we'll be back with guests.
We have got some guests, haven't we?
Yeah.
Do we know who we've got yet? I know some of them.
We've got, yeah, we know some of them, but we're not divulging. You've got to tune in to find out.
It's a top secret guest.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you won't be listening to just us.
Good Lord, no. We listen to enough of just us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, shall we then just shuffle off and switch it off then?
Yes, thank you very much. Ta-ra.
Bye, people. Bye-bye.
Bye.